I've titled this sermon today that's in two parts because the Bible reading is actually in two parts. We've heard the first part of the story of James and John and we'll hear the rest of it directly. But I've entitled this sermon, Frontier Servants. Frontier Servants, because that's what we are. Servants of the gospel of Jesus Christ at the frontier of our society, sharing his word, sharing our lives with others. Frontier Services is a ministry of the Uniting Church that's very dear to me because I'm a country girl. I was raised on the York Peninsula at Cunningham. Hands up if you've heard of Cunningham. Good. I was raised up in the Congregational Church there. That's where I went to Sunday school. And then we moved to Sandylands. Hands up if you've heard of Sandylands on the York Peninsula. Oh, yes. Hello. Where I attended the Methodist Church that was there. And then I left home and went to study as a teacher and I took a sabbatical from church. Much later, as a young married woman living in the southern Flinders Ranges, I returned to the church. And I was there with the first couple of my children, so that they could learn the faith. And I was there as a result of the Uniting Church coming into being. To me, I was part of that church in the early 1970s, and I was so excited to be part of the Uniting Church that I myself was baptized in 1978, the year after the church was formed. The father of my four children was my first husband, and we met on the far west coast at a little place called Wirrala. Continuing with our geography knowledge, who knows where Wirrala is? Excellent, excellent. So if you drive through to Ceduna, you hit Wirrala first before you get to Ceduna. My first husband worked on the station country in the Gawler Ranges. And this is in the era BC, before children. And I used to drive out to him on the weekends or during the school holidays, and we would join the hospitality of the station owners, Dick and Sue Mould. And the next slide, please. This is a picture of the Condorca Station. Now, when you're going up through the centre of the northern part of Eyre Peninsula, you head up towards Kingunya, and then you're through the Gawler Ranges, and you take a left, and it takes you out to the end of the road is Condorca Station. There's nothing beyond that. That's where you finish your road. And when I was out there, one of the things I remember is the arrival each week of the mail truck. We would see the dust coming up the track first, and there'd be a great buzz around the station. All the workmen were around the homestead on mail truck day. And people would start to wander over towards the homestead. Mail truck was a day when everyone gathered. It was the workmen. Some of them were married. A couple were married with their children, and the station owners and their children, the governess and so forth. The dogs would start barking, and the kids would run out, and everyone would sort of congregate on the veranda of the station, and there would be this true atmosphere of anticipation, and we would forget the lack of rain, or the broken fences, or the sheep that needed dipping. And we would just wait for this mail truck to come and bring us news from afar. And once it arrived, the first job was to unload the truck. So we'd unload the groceries, the fencing wire, the fuel drums, the spare parts, the sheep dip, the tyres and the fan belts, the beer, the week's advertisers and the stock journal, and of course the mailbag. And then when we'd gather around and collect their mail and then go off quietly to read the news from afar. This was a true picture of community. And I can remember feeling thankful that this was not my life. My life was 2 hours away in a rural community where there was a shop, a garage, a pub, a netball team to play in, the school and a little church built by the Anglicans and Methodists together. To me, that was real community. The station life to me was a very isolated life, and it is. It takes special people to live in the station country. It's a hard life. There's a lot of suffering and hardship. It's great for introverts, not so good if you need people. It's a life where you're relying on rain, you're constantly monitoring windmills, cleaning out troughs, because water is precious. And the artesian water from that area was so brackish that you couldn't use it for human consumption. So behind that station, there was a great wall. There was some hills behind it on this side that came down into a walled dam, and that was the homestead water, that and the rainwater tanks as well, that through January and February you'd be constantly knocking to see where the level was. Thank you. Next PowerPoint. So James and John say to Jesus, "Can we sit beside you when you come into your kingdom? Can we be your right and left-hand men? Can we join in your lifestyle and all the beauty and the blessings of it?" And Jesus says to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" I remember my husband at the time saying to me, "I could go out and live on the station with him, and I could be the governess for the children." I was a school teacher, you see. And I remember thinking, "You have got no idea what you're asking of me. I have no desire to live your life out here where every day is exactly the same as yesterday. Same faces, same horizon, same lack of rain, same sheep, same old everything. I wasn't able to drink that cup or be baptized into that way of life. But I certainly hope that I can understand those who are called in that way." You know, James and John, they'd invested great hope in Jesus as their Messiah and the life that he offered them. It was what they knew about from their scriptures. They believed he was leading them into a great new beginning in Jerusalem. And they're on the way to Jerusalem. And they're on the way, and Jesus is explaining to them that he is going to die and rise again. And I can just imagine James and John thinking, "What is he talking about? We know what we're going for. We're going to confront the temple people and the Romans, and Jesus is going to take control of everything, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and we're going to be part of that. And we're here with him, and it's going to get better as we go along." It must have been hard to have any comprehension of what actually happened in Jerusalem, of what they actually had to live through. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that he was not going to be what they hoped he would be. Perhaps in a way, James and John were a bit awestruck by Jesus. And you know, we can be awestruck by people, can't we? You know, the Queen visits, or Prince Harry, or whatever, visit, and we think, "Oh wow, these are fantastic people. You know, I'd like to be like them. I want to go and see them and give them some flowers." Or, you know, last Saturday when Glenelg won the Sandford Grand Final, just reminding you, I was there and I touched every hand of those Glenelg players as they ran past with their victory lap, and I was there with my Glenelg scarf, and I've got my badge on still today. Not that I'm biased in any way, but you know, I thought, "Oh, I've touched the hand of those players. You know, they've touched the ball. I touched the hand of the man, you know, who wore my dad's number jumper. I was so blessed." But my life is not their life. You know, to be a premiership winning football player. Oh, I think the Tigers won yesterday over in the other place, didn't they? Yeah, To be a professional football player means a lot more discipline around diet and exercise than I offer in my life. And it sounds good, and I'd like to do it, but there's no way I'm going to do that. And, you know, I might want to identify with royal people, give my flowers to Prince Harry, and think, "Oh, he knows me now. There's a bond between us." But they're never going to live my life, are they? Nor I theirs. And you know, I like to think about the people in the outback and how fantastic it'd be to live out in the station. but I've been there. It's hard going. And it's easy to be awestruck by the outback and the people who live there. They'll always be legendary people to those of us who live by the coast or who live in cities. Understanding the cup of suffering that they drink is hard for us. It's as hard as understanding the cup of suffering other people drink, like those who try to live on New Start allowance, or like those who look in the mirror each day and identify as Aboriginal, or those who are living constantly in the public eye, or who are living with a disease. We need to live in the shoes of others to truly understand them, don't we? Yet this understanding is the call on our bush chaplains in frontier services. Our chaplains journey alongside people on stations and in mining towns and in remote places and Aboriginal communities. Volunteers with Outback Links draw alongside of people with offers of help and companionship. And in the drawing alongside and in the listening and the non-judgmental care, people have a sense of belonging to something greater than themselves, other than the horizon, but a sense that they are held in God's hands, that they have a place on the great kingdom tree, that they are cared for, prayed for, nurtured in faith. And for us, as ordinary people here in this community, the same calling is there for us to our communities. Next slide, please. The strategic plan that we're currently working on in the Synod of South Australia is about building and deepening trusting relationships. And as the moderator, the first part of my moderatorial theme of grow, nurture, flourish is about growing relationships with people that enable us to listen and share what the gospel means for us as people ask us about our faith. You'll notice point four of that strategic plan says that our members are to be encouraged to specifically initiate and foster personal friendships with a wider variety of unlikely people. So we're invited out of our comfort zones to be friendly to people and to get to know them. Next slide, thank you. When we grow relationships of trust, people ask us about the difference that faith makes. When they find out we go to church, they ask us why. And that is when we share our story. That's our evangelism. We don't force our story onto people unwanted. They ask us and we respond with our story. So we might think we know about other people's lives, but we need to really get to know them first, to really understand them, and that's what bush chaplains do. And James and John didn't really understand what Jesus was saying to them. As I mentioned to you earlier, my theme as the moderator is grow, nurture, flourish. Grow relationships of trust to share the gospel. The second part is to nurture discipleship. Now, have the next slide, please. Oh, sorry. Yes, and the one after this. I beg your pardon. To nurture discipleship. And this is like that bird, right, feeding the babies. This is where we learn to become more like Jesus. So we have a responsibility ourselves to grow to be like Jesus in our nature, in the way we are with others, in our being, to be like Jesus so that we can be his ambassadors on the earth. Thank you. The next slide. And from that passage that we just heard, there's a key scripture. Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, and if we are to be Jesus' disciples, that's the call on our lives as well. We are called not to have things come to us to be served, but to actually be the servants, to be servants at the frontier of our society. We have good news to share. We know what is good for society because we have the scriptures to guide us and the Holy Spirit. So we come to serve those things to the community. And we do so by sacrificing our own lives so that others may know and be part of the kingdom of heaven. Next slide. My final focus has been on flourishing in ministry. And make no mistake, if we are following Jesus, then we are following in his ministry of love. Love is what Jesus calls us to be in the world. Every disciple serves the gospel of Jesus Christ by sharing his love. The basis of union says this: the uniting church affirms that every member of the church is engaged to confess the faith of Christ crucified and to be his faithful servant. What we do to love and care for others, often at personal cost, is a ministry of faithful servanthood, where in our actions we confess Christ, wherever we tell our stories of how Christ has blessed our lives within the relationships that we're growing, we confess Christ too, and discipleship gets nurtured in others. Today we are supporting the wider church ministry of frontier services as those people engage in remote areas to people who are living through drought, who are separated from their families through fly-in, fly-out mining camps, or who live in disempowered Aboriginal communities, or simply people who are at the end of their tether. We've all experienced times like that, and we know the value of being in a community that cares for us. We are so thankful for our Frontier Service bush chaplains today. We don't envy them their work, but we come behind them, supporting them and lifting them up. I want to share with you the next slide, thank you. This is a few years ago, my husband and I, when John Dim was still the patrol minister out of Hawker, my husband and I went on a trip with him out on one of his runs to the station country. And we went through this creek in the Flinders Ranges. It was a stinking hot day, 40 plus degrees. We were in the air-conditioned bus, that's good. We came into this creek and here were all these little wallabies lying in the shade. And this wallaby has got a little joey in her pouch. That's that little dark shape you can see. And at the foot of them was this little stream of water coming out. And she was resting there with water because it was so hot. Too hot for her to jump away when the car pulled up. That little stream of water was her lifeline. Frontier Services patrols and their ministry are the lifeline of grace to our outback communities. Today we have an opportunity to be part of that lifeline in our support for our Frontier Service Patrol chaplains. So thank you for the lifelines that you are to each other and that you give today to Frontier Services. And may you continue to grow and nurture and flourish together in the love of Christ in this place. And I have one more slide about lifelines. This is also from the same trip. Can you see the lifeline? Do you get it? It's that blue air line pumping up the flat tire. Such is the life of bush ministry.